gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of the glorious and precious and powerful Word of God. When the Word of God is used to save your eternal soul from hell, that's power. There's power in the preaching of the gospel. We sang that song because it has great meaning. We sang that song because it is a gospel song. These are the kinds of songs the older saints used to write and sing. Gospel, true gospel songs. Today we hear gospel, so-called gospel artists, oftentimes living very ungodly, ungospel-like lives. And we hear their songs, and sometimes we don't know whether or not there's a love song or is a gospel song. We had a rather difficult day on yesterday. However, when we have those difficult days, God does something special, and we want to say a big thank you to all of you who have gathered with us in this series. I think we're at day 20 in this campaign. Time goes by fast when you're busy serving the Lord, and when you're having fun, and when you're not having fun in spiritual warfare. But because of you, dear people, who gather from many countries around the world, many cities across the United States, we had a record-breaking day on yesterday, and we give God the glory. That's on a Thursday, not a Wednesday or a Sunday, but on a Thursday. And those of you who are watching through BCNN1, you all are just showing out, and we thank God for you. Keep on inviting your friends and enemies and neighbors to hear the plain preaching of the Word of God, and let them know we won't be long. For those of you who might be wondering, this is not Hennessy or Patron. This is green tea. It's supposed to be green, but it's not. You know, green tea is not green. It's brown, but it's still good. That's my shot for today. The wisdom of judging yourself before you judge others, part four. And we're coming to a close in this series here shortly. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 560, since January the 20th, 2017, and day 927 since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 to hear the words of Jesus Christ, the greatest somebody who ever lived. He said, "Judge not that ye be not judged." And allow me to admit another area that I have been a cruel judge in. So you won't think somebody's just picking on you. We can easily be judgmental. It's in our wicked hearts, it's in our wicked flesh to judge others. And my family members, especially my children, they are just as guilty as I am in this area of judging. One thing that we quickly start judging people about is whether or not, if we're watching a movie or something, if a person can act. If the person does not have the gift of acting, if his or her face cannot act, if you know what I mean. If we detect that you are doing something out of your calling, we will shut you down in a heartbeat. And worse, we will sit there and watch it and laugh our heads off at how ridiculous you look while you're acting. There's no critic, no judge worse than me and my children when it comes down to a movie. Now, if you're a good actor, if you can bring it like Jack Nicholson, if you can bring it like Meryl Streep, if you can bring it like Denzel Washington, and we don't have to be sitting on pins and needles hoping that you make it. We don't have to sit there being embarrassed for you. Then we'll be all right. Everybody be fine. We'll take you seriously. And sad to say, we've had to laugh at some movies that claim to be Christian movies. I'm still laughing at that movie. What's it called? Firehouse? Is that it? Over here? Fireproof. I'm still laughing at that. No. They beat up on that man too badly. And some of the acting was atrocious. But, you know, I said this the other day. If I got up there, it would be worse. So that's our sinful human nature. We judge others and what they're doing very harshly. I know we have. Oh, my soul. Please don't get up there if you don't know how to act and you don't have it going on, because it is brutal. The judgment is brutal. I mean brutal. Your feelings would be so hurt if you heard some of the things we said about your poor acting. But be that as it may, that's another sin in my life, in the area of judging. And you say, oh, that's not so serious. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. With the things we say, it is. It's just harsh. But God does not want us to judge. Judge not that you be not judged. For one reason, the person is doing the best they can. Secondly, you're not doing it. At least they stepped out and tried to do it. Even though I feel they need to sit down, but that's not my place. Just don't watch the movie, and I will not watch it either. And number three, that's between them and their Lord, you know. But I would encourage all of us to make sure we follow our calling and our gifting. It makes it better for everybody. And just because it is a Christian movie does not mean it needs to be mediocre and a laughingstock. It should be excellent. Be that as it may. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Those same actors that I have judged, they're probably watching me right now judging me. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. By the way, on a very serious note, God is watching everything you do and everything you say. So you need to be careful. We all need to be careful that we're not harsh in our judgment. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And then zip, bam, boom, it appears that Jesus goes in another direction, but he's not. He says, give not that which is holy, that which is sacred, unto the dogs. And he meant this thing. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Holy Father God in heaven, we are amazed at your holy word, and we are amazed at your Holy Spirit and how you mix the two together to keep your saints going and to feed some and to exhort others, and how that you speak to us in a million different ways from one message, and everybody gets something different because your Holy Spirit is dealing with each and every one of us at different stages of our growth and based upon our makeup and our experience. And Holy Father God, we give you the glory, praise, and honor that you are the one and only judge. We have no right to judge others. We have no right to criticize others. It is very ridiculous for us to think we do have the right to do so, because we are all in the same boat. We're sinners who need your grace, your mercy, and your love. And Lord, we individually confess our sins and our failures and our faults and our judging of others. Even in jest. And Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins and help us to be mindful of what we say about others and what they do. And Holy Father God, because we will, as you have told us, we will reap what we have sown. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand that and to take this more seriously. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would work mightily in us and to help us to change where we need to change. Help us to repent where we need to repent. Help us to shut up when we need to and where we need to shut up. And Lord God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many here have been up since very early in the morning. Give them your grace and strength to stay with us throughout this brief service. And we pray that you would help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and to understand that particularly in our tiredness, the devil will get busy and try to cause a problem in this service. And Lord, I know the hundreds of folks who are participating online, they don't quite know what I'm talking about as to what happens around here, but because they're on the receiving end, and that's good, but we have to be on our P's and Q's, and we need to stay prayed up and sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, lest the devil take advantage of a situation and cause the gospel to be hindered. So Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast out every demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness and enmity from this place and from the hearts and minds of those people who have that issue. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Place upon us the whole arm of God, and grant this poor preacher, Lord, grant me your extraordinary grace and anointing and unction from on high, and the power of your Holy Spirit to make the gospel plain again, and to make your holy word plain, and to meet the needs of the people participating online and otherwise around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible also says, 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 11:31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And we will expound on that in a day or two. Dr. Ray Stedman said, "All of us know someone whom we consider a little bit lower on the ethical moral scale than we are. And oh, what a comfort they are to our hearts." Sadly, every time our conscience gives us a little stab, we immediately remember these people and we take courage and feel a whole lot better about ourselves. And if, end of quote, and if that is the case with you, you are a chief Pharisee. You have the mentality, well, you know, I'm better than they are, even though you are just as evil, but you'll convince yourself that you are better than they are, and you will foolishly take comfort in that. And you're comparing yourselves among yourselves, and the Bible says this is not wise for many reasons. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that this passage does not endorse blind non-judgmentalism, in other words, it does endorse discernment, making decisions, who you should, making a determination as to who you should fellowship with. All of these are little judgments, because the truth of the matter is, as you will see, there are some people in this world, my beloved, that God would rather for you to stay away from and separate yourself from. That's all there is to it. How can two walk together unless they agree? Some of you have some friends that you, and you call yourself trying to be a witness, and they're witnessing to you. They're involved in witchcraft. You'll be amazed at how many people are involved in witchcraft today. Some of your girlfriends are involved in witchcraft. Some of your male friends and female friends are caught up in cultic sexual groups where beautiful young ladies are branded as sex slaves, and they know that you are a sweet Christian virgin girl, and they'll try to make you a whore like they are, or a whoremonger like they are. And before you know it, you have been bamboozled into something that God has had no intention of you being in. One of the most dangerous things that's happening today is this insidious, demonic, wicked movement that is so well orchestrated. Young men and young women who are heterosexual, they have the normal God-given interest in the opposite sex, at the right age, it becomes a burning thing. And I am shocked and amazed at how many young men are not burning after the young women, and young women in turn, in their own way, burning towards men. And so many young men and so many young women are unknowingly being sucked into a homosexual lifestyle. It's wicked as hell. It's coming on our TV sets. It's coming into the classroom. You're looked at as strange if you don't accept, at least accept, homosexuality as a alternative lifestyle. That some foolishly think, demonically think, that it is the mainstream. It is not. There's a very small percentage of people who even think so stupidly and so foolishly. You say, oh, you're passing judgment. No, I'm not passing judgment. I'm stating a fact. That lifestyle will damn your soul to hell. That lifestyle will bring all kinds of heartache and pain and physical pain to your body and your mind. And by the way, the group that's killing themselves the most are not just veterans, but homosexuals, lesbians, because there's no knot at the end of their rope to hold on to. And so therefore there's a demonic hopelessness in their lives. And young people are being sucked up into this. And Christian parents who send their children off to college, they get a phone call one night saying, your daughter Lisa has overdosed on some pills. They don't know that their daughter Lisa was involved in a hellish lesbian relationship. There's nothing pretty in that. There's nothing good about it. And by the way, there's nothing gay about it. Amen, somebody. And I know that people don't like to hear that. And I know that that is not popular today. But I'm not here to preach something popular. I'm trying to warn you to understand you have to make some judgments. Well, you, why don't you come and go to Pizza Hut with us? You know, this is, and the people are saying this to you, one person has pink and blue and yellow hair, and a man has stilettos on and an earring in his ears and in his nose and lipstick on. And you say, well, no, oh, you're judging us. No, don't judge us. Come on, get into the little green and pink and red, yellow VW with us van and come go with us. We're not going to hurt you. If you want to do nothing, we don't have to do nothing. You just eat the pizza. All right, I don't want to be seen as a judgmental person. I don't want to. No, you need to judge. You need to make a decision, and you need to stand tall and straight on the Word of God. Amen, somebody. Don't deceive yourself. Don't listen to the devil. Maybe if you go to Pizza Hut, that's it. I believe the devil is a homosexual too. He's gay. If you go to a Pizza Hut with them, you can witness to them and tell them about your Lord. Now, they're going to tell you about theirs, okay, young person. And that's what's happening. People who have been claimed to be saved and born again, leaving the church in droves, trying to defend something that is indefensible, based upon the Word of God. That is not only wrong from the Word of God standpoint, it is wrong from the standpoint of nature itself. But that's what's happening. And you need to make some judgments. Will somebody's feelings get hurt? Yes. And nobody's feelings get hurt more than the homosexuals and the lesbians. Oh, my soul. And some of these people, bless their hearts, the devil has taken their minds. They are losing their minds. They're going crazy. You say you sound like you're being judgmental. No, I'm stating facts, people. And it threatens to tear the very fabric of this country apart. Be that as it may, the fact that this passage, my beloved, does not endorse blind non-judgmentalism is underlined by what we read in verse 6. At first, these words seem like an outlier to the topic that Jesus is dealing with. It appears at first that Jesus is going into another direction. No, he's not. He's helping you to understand something. How that you need to be discerning. And I believe that every born-again child of God gets a degree of discernment. You have to have that. Like a porcupine has sharp needles to defend itself in the wild, a Christian has to have certain things to defend himself and herself. And I believe one of those gifts from God is discernment. That thing that you get when you get around certain people and you get a check in your spirit, in your soul, you say something's not right. Something's not right about that person. And every Christian is tempted with somebody. They look like they are right. They look like they're Christians. They look like churchgoers. They might be dressed up in a suit. And they might talk the language. I believe at least one time in your Christian life, the devil is going to come to you with an imposter. And it sounds like they're talking right and doing right, but they're trying to take you down. The devil is using them, trying to take you down. For some of you young ladies, it's a dashing, Darius Nash-looking young man who all he wants to do is use you up. By the way, a doctor that I really had not heard anything about, bless his heart, won the Nobel Peace Prize because he's an African doctor from the Congo. And he won the Nobel Peace Prize because he's known by the grace of God to heal up women who have been used as sexual slaves and raped in all kinds of ways. And he tries to bring back after being brutally raped multiple times. He does surgery on them and tries to bring back some feeling of normalcy. Because the women come out of that really messed up. And I am told that thousands of women have been sold into sexual slavery or brutalized into sexual slavery through war by ISIS and others. And this doctor, a black man, without any perversion in his heart and mind, has been blessed by God to help these young women. Another lady won too, who was an actual victim, but who's using what happened to her, being raped and so forth, to help other women come out of that and overcome that. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, so many young women, not having discernment and judgment, get caught up with the wrong man. And I will tell you to your face, most men, including men in the church. I don't care what they say. They are not interested in you as a person in this day and time. Most of us men do not understand the wonderful value of a woman, and they want you for one thing. And if they can get that one thing, they're going to get it as long as they can and leave you high and dry and go for the next thing. They don't care anything about you. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Most women, if I was a woman, I would not get married knowing that what I know about men, including myself, I would not get married. I wish I was an angelic, wonderful, special man who can say that I have not been tempted and have not done some things in the past that I am ashamed of now. But I cannot say that. And I know what's in the hearts of many men. And that's why we're having a serious problem in our society today. And I've been saved for 40 years in preaching the gospel. But I did some terrible things before then. And had some struggles since then. And if I were a woman, I would not get involved with a man if I could maintain myself and control myself. You'd be better off being a missionary and serving God and enjoying your life without all of that mess. Because most men today want to use you, and they're not in it for your benefit at all. And you just need to be aware of that. And so you need to practice some, you need to take heed to that advice. Don't be foolish, running out there all fast, as the old folks used to say, and thinking that these men are going to be so nice and wonderful to you. And yeah, they're going to be nice and wonderful until they get what they want. Until they get what they want, and then they're going to say bye-bye. And they may not even say that. So judgment is necessary. Discernment is necessary. And I will say to all young people, all millennials, you need to pray for discernment. It is your protection. Discernment gives you the ability to see right through people. The gift of discernment gives you the ability to say, this person means me no good, without them even saying a word. You get something on the inside, a signal that God says, don't go with him. Don't go with her. And the same thing goes for men, vice versa. There's some Jezebels out there that will mess your life up. The biggest supporters of my book, Letters to Young Black Men, when I dealt with the women folk, are the women telling their son, with my telling their sons how to handle women folk. And I told the young men that everything that glitters ain't gold. Don't go running after everything you see, because so many men have been greatly harmed by a beautiful woman. In fact, there's a whole law firm right now that handles, that defends men only against the Jezebel women who try to take everything they have. That's all they do. They don't defend any women. They defend men only. And it's a growing industry. And many judges, especially female judges, are leaning now more on passing positive judgments for the man over the woman. Because people have found out some of the lyingest people in the world are women. And they'll lie on their husbands and create things and make up stuff and have the police and the church and everybody believe in one thing and it has no truth to it whatsoever. And women are harder on women than men will ever be. I feel sorry for women who get a female judge when they're facing some kind of situation with their husband or their boyfriend. And because that woman is going to see right through you, and she's going to ask you several questions. One of the questions would be, what did you do? And so you're just innocent in all of this? You never said anything? You never did anything? You never pulled a knife yourself? Well, one time, you know, I was feeling a little bit threatened, and I pulled out my gun and pointed it at him. Oh, okay, now we're getting somewhere. So you're just as guilty as he is, aren't you? Even more so. Police officer, arrest her. She tried to kill a man. She threatened to kill a man. And so you need discernment, people. You need to judge some things. God wants you to do that. But again, mostly he wants you to judge yourself. He wants you to ask yourself, why are you getting in that car with that man you just met? Your car broke down and you're walking down the street to get to a gas station and a man drives up at 9 o'clock at night and you get in it. And you have a cell phone to call the police or AAA. You need discernment. You need judgment. You need to do things that make sense. But just as with the beam and the moat that Jesus talks about, Jesus is speaking in another, if you will, pair of metaphors to drive home his point. And that is, give not that which is holy or sacred unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. What Jesus is communicating to us, beloved, is that we cannot treat every situation and every person the same when we are trying to help them with the moat or even a beam in their own eye or in their life. God wants us to make judgments and first of all, to judge ourselves and get the beam out of our own eye. For some of us are blinded. We have a beam not only in the left eye, but in the right eye as well. And we can't even see our own wickedness and foolishness and failures. And so therefore, we really can't help anybody else. It's like a drowning man trying to help a drowning man. That's not going to work. It's like what they tell us on the airplane. Don't put the oxygen mask on your family member first. Put the oxygen mask on your face first and then take care of somebody else. Judge yourself first, and then you can help somebody else. But be wise, and what Jesus is saying here, be wise and discerning and pass some judgment in who you help. Dr. John Walvoord and Dr. Roy Zook said, furthermore, when seeking to help another person with the mote in their eye, one must exercise care to do what would be appreciated. Can somebody say amen? That which is appreciated and beneficial. One should never entrust holy things like holy good advice and counsel, that which is sacred, the principles found in the Word of God, to unholy and ungodly and wicked, foolish acting people, the dogs of the world. Now, these are Jesus' words. Now, they're not mine. Don't go out here and tell one of your congressmen that I call somebody a dog. Maxine Waters, please don't go tell Maxine Waters I call somebody a dog. I said, Jesus used these words. Or throw pearls to pigs or to swine. Dogs and pigs, he brings out, were despised in those days. One of the ways, ladies and gentlemen, we exercise judgment and discernment is in deciding who we take the time to advise on spiritual matters. And this is an area where you definitely need discernment. Here you have a couple before you. You see not only the mote in their eye, but you see the beam in their eye. And they are trying to pull the mote out of each other's eyes, and they're gnawing on each other and pulling each other's eyeballs out. They're young, ignorant, and acting foolish. Now you have a decision to make. You already sense that they have not listened to God. They have not listened to the Word of God. They have not listened to your preaching. They have not listened to the first instruction you gave them. They're not listening to common sense. Why would they listen to you further? One of the best counselors and pastors that has had to deal with all kinds of situations in people's lives and very, very discerning is Pastor Dr. John McNeil Jr. out of Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. John McNeil Jr. had very little stress in his life, because if he perceived that you were a foolish person and he discerned that you would not listen, he practiced this principle and he would not tell you anything. People who have godly discernment can look right through you and they can tell you're not at that point in your life. You're not broken enough, you're not humble enough to listen to the advice and do it. There are people right now that can really help you, but they see that you have foolishness in you and they refuse to tell you anything because they have already determined, they have already discerned that you're the type of individual who has to learn it the hard way. Amen, somebody. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. We're going to pray in a few minutes. There are some people who will listen and take heed to wise counsel. And there are some people who will not listen or take heed to wise counsel. And you need to know which one is which. The Bible calls people like this fools. Now, I'm very careful not to call anybody a fool. You will never catch me in any way, shape, form, or fashion getting close to calling anybody a fool. You say, preacher, why is that? Because Jesus said if you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. So I don't play that. But I let God say what he wants to say about it by reading his words. Proverbs 23:9 says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." This is a very strange phenomenon. Many parents are baffled at this. You have a son, you love your son, you want the best for your son, and you can whisper in his ears and say, "This is what you need to do, 1, 2, 3. And that joker goes in the opposite direction with a 3, 2, 1. His little foolish plan. Amen, somebody. You have a daughter, you love her, you want the best for her, you tell her, here you whisper into her ear and tell her, "Listen, if you do this, you'll be very successful." And you think she's listening, and she goes out and do the very opposite. You give her a 1, 2, 3, she does a 3, 2, 1, and before you know it, she's pregnant, got Bo Peep living in the apartment with her, driving her car, dropping her off at your house while he goes God knows where. Even in the church, ladies and gentlemen, there are some who have to learn things the hard way. And you have to let them. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't cast your golden nuggets of wisdom and experience before dogs who will not take heed to it. Sharing the word of God, sharing the gospel, and we're going to deal with that in a minute, with people who won't listen is a very dangerous thing. It's connected to the old saying, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing for most people. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Dan Zika. No matter the advice they receive, they will walk their own path and will have to learn from the consequences of their own actions, their own foolishness. So we should use judgment. We should use discernment before we cast holy words from the Word of God and precious pearls or advice before dogs and swine who cannot recognize the true value of the words and the wisdom. Extending the interpretation of Jesus' words even further regarding this, Dr. Warren Wiersbe explains that there are some whose hearts are prepared to hear the gospel, and there are some who will reject the good gift out of hand. He said, as God's people, we are privileged to handle the holy things of the Lord. He has entrusted to us the precious truths of the Word of God, and what a blessing that is. And we must regard them carefully. No dedicated priest, no godly priest would throw meat from the altar to a filthy dog, and only a fool would give pearls to a pig. We all know what that pig is going to do. She's going to take that $500,000 pearl or row of pearls or necklace and dash it in the mud and try to eat it. You don't want people to do that with the Word of God. While it is true that we must carry the gospel to every creature, make no mistake about it, it is also true that we must not cheapen the gospel by a ministry that lacks discernment, is what he said. Even Jesus refused to talk to Herod, and Paul refused to argue with people who resisted the Word of God, and in fact instructs us to do the same. We should not be arguing with people. You just share the gospel if they want to argue. And Lord knows we got some folks in the church who love to argue. It's in them. I know of a preacher who was a master apologist. He didn't really care for sharing the gospel, but he loved arguing about the gospel, arguing about the Bible. There are people like that in our churches. They just love, they do nothing but want to, they do nothing but argue about different issues. And they love it. Never share the gospel, but they love arguing about different issues in the Bible and so forth. The reason for judgment then is not that we, ladies and gentlemen, it's not that we might condemn others, but that we might be able to minister to them. Notice with me that Jesus always dealt with individuals according to their needs and their spiritual condition. He would deal with them right where they were. He did not have a memorized speech that he used with everybody. He discussed the new birth with Nicodemus, but he spoke of living water to the Samaritan woman. When the religious leaders tried to trap him, he refused to answer their questions. It is a wise Christian who first assesses the condition of a person's heart before sharing the precious pearls. Jesus' discourse on judgment and discernment can be summed up with another of his famous statements, "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And oh, how we need to be reminded of that today. We ought to practice discernment and wariness and diligent investigation and thoughtful consideration in all aspects of life, but especially when dealing with the condition of people's souls and lives and their relationship with God, whether they are already saved and need to confess and forsake a mote sin, or whether they are not saved and need to hear and receive the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John Newton wrote, "Though in the outward church below the wheat and tares together grow, Jesus ere long will weed the crop and pluck the tares in anger up. We seem alike when thus we meet. Strangers might think we all are wheat, but to the Lord's all-searching eyes each heart appears without disguise. The tares are spared for various ends, some for the sake of praying friends, others the Lord against their will employs his counsels to fulfill. But though they grow so tall and strong, his plan will not require them long in harvest. When he saves his own, the tares shall into hell be thrown." So, dear friend, are you a tare, or what I call a terrorist? Are you religious but lost and on your way to hell? If you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from the power of sin, from the pain of sin, and from the punishment of sin eternally. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for your coming short, for your sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sin. We're dying right now. I just turned 58, and I feel myself slowing down. I can't do like I used to. I used to go jogging before I preached on Sunday mornings or on Wednesdays. Took my young family to the park, and we would go jogging and running and doing all kinds of things. I can't do that anymore. I do still exercise, but I feel the effects of sin. I am dying. And you're dying. And because of sin, these intricate, powerful, expensive bodies will die one day and be put into the ground because of sin. Our soul will live on forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. But if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're going to hell, my friend. Nobody's trying to scare you, just stating facts. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else to go to hell. You've already broken the Ten Commandments, and so have I. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? To warn us. Not because he hated us, but because he loved us. He said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a place of pain and torment. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of loneliness. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. And hell is a place that is forever. Once you go behind the gates of hell, you will be there throughout eternity. These are the words found in the Holy Bible. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Straight from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved or to be saved. You don't have to speak in some unknown tongue to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the preacher or to the church to be saved. All you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you on the third day. So if you are believing in your heart right now that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Please repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. And God will save your soul, and that's a promise based upon Romans 10:9-13. That if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I've stolen before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've lusted after and coveted after people and things that don't belong to me. I've dishonored my parents and have disrespected them. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins and save my soul, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. You say, preach, aren't you worried about those people who pray that prayer and then they turn back? I'm not worried at all, because I know Jesus and I know God, and they will help them finish out their salvation or work out their salvation throughout their lives one way or another. It's all a mystery, but they will do it. So, dear friend, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails at Gospel Light Society or Gospel Light House of Prayer, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you immediately. That is today. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, as the music plays, just as I am, in honor of God, in honor of Jesus Christ, and in honor of their servant Billy Graham, God loves you, we love you. And may God bless you real good, is our prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.